The Bible tells us that Satan blinds the eyes of those who do not believe. Indeed, he does. He blinded my eyes for 21 years. But then, through the Holy Spirit, my eyes were opened and Christ became very real to me. We see from the 9th chapter of John's Gospel that the witnesses to the healing of the blind man were astounded. Some, of course, were disturbed. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, the Bible says. John states the problem by saying it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. To the Pharisees, this was breaking the law. But Christ did not on any occasion break the law of God. He came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. He did not, however, obey the traditions of the Pharisees, who were adding to the Scriptures and putting themselves above God. In verse 15, we read, "Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. Well, a straightforward answer was given. He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see." There could be no question about the miracle. But the Pharisees accused the Lord Jesus Christ of an infraction of the law. Rather than be grateful that the blind man was healed, they sought to find fault. There were some, however, in the Sanhedrin who disagreed with the majority. They ask, in verse 16, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" There was a division among them. It might have been Nicodemus who raised this question, for it was he who had said to Christ some time before, "No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." The Pharisees asked the healed man, "What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes?" Quickly the reply came, "He is a prophet." In verse 11, he had spoken of Christ as a man. Now he terms him as a prophet. Such a statement took courage, for a prophet, in the thinking of the Jews, was one possessing the authority of God, usually evidencing his authority by great works and miracles, such as Elijah and Jeremiah had done. What a lesson for those of us who have received Jesus Christ as Lord. It is not always easy to be a Christian, is it? It takes courage to stand against sin and against the world that delights in sin. It is no simple matter to be laughed at, to be called old-fashioned or puritanical. This is one reason why so many who claim to be followers of Christ bear all the marks of the world. Though they name Christ's name, they are unwilling to follow him. Refusing to accept the testimony of the man who had been blind, the Sanhedrin summoned his parents. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" With three questions, they tried to incriminate not only the parents but the man who had been healed. His parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself." To the first two questions, the parents were able to give a definite reply. The third question, they refused to answer. Now we see in verse 22, "These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue." Now, to be put out of the synagogue meant not merely to be removed from the temple where they were being cross-examined, but to be excommunicated. There were two branches of excommunication known to the Jews. The first was for lighter offenses, of which there were 24. It lasted only 30 days, and during this time the guilty one was not permitted to enter the synagogue. The second was far more serious, resulting in complete excommunication forever. One who was excommunicated permanently might even be denied the privilege of dealing with local merchants. Nothing could be more humiliating for a Jew than being excommunicated from the synagogue. it was known as the curse that fell on the disobedient. Now verse 24. Again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. It would seem that the Sanhedrin was finally convinced that the man born blind did experience a miracle of healing. However, they sought to disassociate Christ from the miracle. They tried to convince the healed man that Christ broke the law by healing on the Sabbath. For this reason, he was a sinner and not in a position to perform a miracle. They declared that since the miracle was performed by God, he should receive the praise. Because of their prejudice and bigotry, these men would not acknowledge Jesus as God. But notice the answer that came from the lips of the one who had experienced the miracle. Verse 25. Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Clearly and pointedly, he adhered to the one line of testimony he had begun, that he was healed. He was speaking not out of prejudice, nor even out of conviction. He simply witnessed to his experience. Here is a worthwhile lesson for all of us who really know the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's desire that we witness to this fact. It is not necessary to have an exhaustive knowledge of the Bible. Just simply give your testimony. With love and assurance, tell others how the Lord Jesus has transformed your life, how that once you were blind in sin, but now by the grace of God you can see. Be a witness for God. You see, the Bible says, Ye are my witnesses. We have been appointed by the Lord to tell other people about Jesus Christ. And we are to grasp every opportunity we possibly can to share the gospel. Don't be a silent Christian. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Speak out for Christ. God, through the Holy Spirit, will give you the boldness if only you will allow him to work in your life. And you may be a listener who has never trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation. When do you plan to get saved? 20 years from now? 30 years from now? Say, who knows? You may not have 20 days left. You may not have one day left. Who knows the answer to this question? When will I die? You don't know that. We need to be ready at any time, because when we die, we either go to heaven or we go to hell. We either go to be with Christ or we go into the horrors of hell. Dear friend, if you've never taken Christ into your life, do it right now. God is waiting. Turn to him through Christ. Now, our Father, we pray for your people, that we may be faithful in sharing the gospel. We know time is short. Help us to redeem the time. Help us to tell people about Jesus. And for those listening who don't know him, may they come to him, I pray. Lead them in your will and in your way, and grant that they may find a good church and grow in grace. Work in hearts, I ask, dear Lord, through the Holy Spirit. You can do this, and so this is my prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.